Welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are in the studio with Miss Janelle and Miss Tara and myself, Sandy, and we are still discussing John 20:19-31, and we're going to continue to talk about the mission that Jesus gives the disciples and also to us.
Yeah, and I didn't even ask Janelle. I was going to say, you want to do the story?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
While you're here?
Can't say no if we're already on air.
Gosh. No, yeah. Sure you can.
All right, so it was the first day of the next week after Jesus was crucified, and the disciples were locked behind closed doors because they were afraid of what the Jews would do to them. When all of a sudden Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And then he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were so overjoyed to see him. Then Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he said this, he breathed on them, and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you withhold forgiveness, they are withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, who's called Twin, was not with them when Jesus had come. So the disciples ran and told him, "We've seen the Lord." But Thomas was unsure, and he said, "Unless I see the hands with the nail marks and put my finger in those marks and put my hand into his side, I will never believe." Well, 8 days later, the disciples were inside behind the same locked doors, and Thomas was with them this time. And Jesus came again and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he looked at Thomas and said, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Put your hand inside my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." But Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have seen, who have not seen, but yet also believe." Now Jesus did many other things in the presence of the disciples that aren't recorded in this book because there are too many. But these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing you may have life in his name.
That's good. Okay, so let's just open with this question because we kind of ended with it. What is the mission? What is the mission that he's wanting them to get?
Go and tell the good news.
The good news of what?
Of Jesus' resurrection and
forgiveness of sins.
Forgiveness of sins, a gift of salvation.
Okay, wonderful. And so there's two words that are used here for the word send, because he tells them, "I am sending you. As the Father has sent me, I will send you." And the first one is "as the Father sent" is apostello, and then "I am sending" is pempo. There's two different Greek words that they're being used. The first one is sent with a mission, and pempo is that "I am sending you." Now, some of the commentators say that they could be used interchangeably, but it's important that we recognize that there's a level of dependence and work that's happening, that it's a commissioning, you know, as we would say with the Great Commission. So it's the recognizing of that. And the Jesus being sent by God meant that his words, his works, and his person are coming from God. And thereby, when he sends them, what should happen? If he's doing everything that is within the will of God, what should happen with the disciples?
They should also do the same.
Okay. So as I have been sent, I am sending you. What ways have we seen that in the New Testament? Does Jesus say that often when he is walking on this earth? I am here to do the will of
the Father. Mm-hmm.
He says it over and over and over. And here it's a reminder. And he's making it clear to them that this mission, it's not that it's my mission, it's the Father's mission. Mm-hmm. And that's where the authority comes from. In their culture, our culture it's important to us too, is recognizing where the authority comes from. He is clarifying authority. Mm-hmm. And in order to have a mission, you have to know what authority you're going in, and you have to know what you're going to give. And if you have clarity of knowing your authority and the message, then it's easier to do what you need to do. And that often plans fail because they don't have that vision, they don't know the authority, and they don't know the message. And from there, there's freedom in what the tool might look like and the ways that you might proclaim that message. It may be different with each person, but knowing that it's under the Father's authority and that it's to give the message. And the struggle here is that the church is trying to find, or the body, I should say, the people at the time, they're looking for the Jewish rabbi. And they're looking for that political leader. And he's once again trying to clarify what the mission is and getting and breaking down those belief systems that they have that have been built up within their community and having their thoughts in the wrong place. And so recognize that is important. David Guzik says that there's fourfold aspects that he gives to this ministry, and this is kind of where I want us to sit this time. He starts off with saying that Jesus gives them assurance. And the assurance is when he says, peace be with you. And then he gives them the mission. So as the Father sends me, I send you. And then he breathes on them and gives them the Holy Spirit. So it's the assurance, the mission, and then the provision. And then the last one is the announcing of the authority. So as you forgive, it will be done. And so thinking through the fourfold aspects that Guzik talks about, assurance, mission, provision, and authority, what might that look like for us today as we are doing ministry ourselves? Thinking through practically as we're interacting with people.
I mean, we've kind of inherited the mission. You know, it's like something that's been passed down from generation to generation. Like, I like using movies for examples, but in National Treasure, you know, they have this secret society, and each time the secrets are passed down from generation to generation to keep them safe. In the same way, our mission is passed down from the disciples. They are the witnesses of Christ, who is the witness of the Father, and then those who they told are the witnesses of the disciples, and those who they told are the witnesses of those witnesses, and all the way down to us, that we've inherited this mission and also inherited the empowering that Christ has given us, and that enables us to go out and continue that mission.
Yeah, that's good. I love the fact that you connect to the fact that it's the eyewitnesses, that they were directly there interacting in it and experiencing it. I know for myself, like one of the things that, I mean, as the Dean of Women, I constantly am having to watch and interact and call out leaders on campus. And so I actually use this in my mind in how to call a leader, and that what do I need to do as a leader to give assurance? What do I need to remind the leaders of what their mission is? What do I need to do to give them provision to recognize they have the presence of the Holy Spirit in them, at work in them? Mm-hmm. What do I need to do to help them remember the authority that they have been given? And it's crazy, as I interact with the RAs or as I interact with the RDs or just students on campus that are leaders, I'm constantly in my mind trying to figure out, how can I assure, how can I remind them of their mission, how can I help them have the provision and help them remember the authority they work under? That is actually the processes I use as a leader with the leaders that I interact with on campus, as I'm hearing circumstances and questions of things that are happening. So as a leader, if this is what Jesus used,
it should be right.
It's a great model for us. And so when David Guzik called this the fourfold aspects of ministry, I was like, man, that's so right on. That's exactly what I do. And I wasn't doing it because, like, oh, I remember reading in John 20 that this is the four things that Jesus did. I read about the four things, and I'm like, wow, that is what God has compelled in me as I am interacting with leaders and trying to grow leaders. And so I think that's pretty cool that as he's discipling his leaders, he's given us a model that we can use in our leaders. And so thinking through what that might look like, and that works within the home, it works at church, it works at work, that when we have confusion, it's usually because we don't know what we're working under. What is the mission? How am I provided? Who's my authority? I need assurance, you know. Any of those things where we feel like we lack the direction, it's because one of those questions have not been clearly answered. And so trying to make sure that we have that clarified so that, or to clarify it for somebody if they need it as well as a leader. I know that it shapes us and helps us with that. So thinking through the disciples, and when later they'll actually stand up and they'll begin doing their discipling, you can see that they do the same thing. You know, when they go through and they tell what's happened, they will go through and they will assure the people. They'll say what the mission is. They'll talk about the provision of the Holy Spirit and then the authority that we have under Jesus. It's amazing. You can see it clearly in Acts as they go through building the church. And the reason is that commentators say this passage right here is critical because Jesus is building the church. Mm. Right here, he is setting the foundation of what he's expecting of them and his expectations for the body of Christ as the church. And I love how it seems so simple, but when you look at it, there's so much more there than what we would have thought, because he says, "Peace be to you. As the Father sends me, I send you." And after saying this, he breathes on them and they receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive sins, they're forgiven. And if you retain them, it will be retained. I mean, looking at that, I don't take it as deep as it could go. Mm-hmm. But when I take time to break it down, it really goes pretty deep.
Okay, so can we hang out a little bit on if you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now, we don't have the authority to forgive sins. God does. He's the only one. But aren't they talking here about witnessing to them our forgiveness?
It will be, it's an excellent question. And it is helping them to recognize that forgiveness comes because Jesus died on the cross.
Right.
And that
right.
because he made a way, we can have forgiveness. And so if a person receives,
then forgiven.
Help them to right. recognize that they are forgiven. And so the authority is that they have been given the authority to proclaim what has been done towards forgiveness.
Right. So and it's like either accepting Christ or rejecting Christ here.
Correct.
Okay.
And but also I think that would also include as a believer, you know, recognizing I have something inside me. And as a child of God, we have the ability to discern, you know, if somebody's struggling with forgiveness.
Oh, right.
And so
right.
helping them right. walk through that process of receiving the forgiveness.
And that's where I think our experience comes in, too, is because if we've had an experience of a sin of some sort, we can help them,
exactly.
you know, to work it through and right. understand there is forgiveness.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm glad you asked that question. It's a good
well,
question.
I went over that a lot this morning thinking, no, wait a minute. It almost sounds like they can forgive sins and not just God. To me, only God can, because it says it in the Word.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And I think that
we lead them there.
Right.
We
are proclaiming. And that's why it was important we go back and we remember it's God reigns. It is the proclamation
right.
of salvation. And salvation is the forgiveness of sins. And so recognizing that. Good question. You got another one?
Not right now.
Okay. So what are your thoughts as you think on the fourfold ministry and you think of your interactions with people?
I think one of the hardest things for a believer is the transition between being a student and being a teacher, or being a follower and being a leader, because I've known a lot of teachers that make really good students, but they don't make very good teachers, because they like learning the information themselves, but figuring out how to empower others to learn it is very difficult. It takes a completely different mindset. Mm-hmm. It goes from, I must be successful at this, and it's an inward introspective, to an outward examination of someone else to see what do they need to get to these steps and to learn and grow, mm-hmm. not just grow to be like me, but grow to be like Christ and grow in where they're at in their life. So I think that being empowered with truth and with perspective to minister to others, for the purpose of ministering to others, is very difficult, but it's also one of the most rewarding things of the Christian life, is being able to see someone working through a particular spiritual issue and then discipling them through that, walking with them through that, and learning yourself as you walk with them the things, the truths that they're learning, but ultimately for the joy of seeing them grow, not for the desire of growing in yourself, but seeing them grow
completely
with Christ.
Right. Should always have the mindset of thinking of the other. Mm-hmm. Always. It's important. And part of that is recognizing that it's a mission. You know, mm-hmm. that we have been sent.
Yeah,
yes.
Go.
Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. It's important. Okay, so as Jesus is sharing with them, and calling them out on this, then scripture pauses and it says we have an 8-day gap that occurs. And on this 8-day gap, we come up to where Thomas is the one that, you know, he's not seen, he's not heard, and he's not willing to believe, he's not willing to interact. And so we have the challenge of Thomas. And we here learn several things from Thomas. And so let's think on Thomas for a minute. What is Thomas's beef? What's his issue?
You can't believe.
I was going to say he doesn't believe.
Okay. All right.
Can not by from other people.
Those 8 days, like, what would those have been like? You know, all the other disciples are like, oh my gosh, he's alive. This completely changes everything. And they're like trying to relapse and like not relapse, but understand all of the things that are happening and process all of those. And Thomas is like, like, how could they even talk to him? Like, what would those 8 days have been like?
Well, those 8 days might have been for him, that waiting time. We all have that waiting time for God to talk to us, and sometimes it's longer than 8 days.
Right. Well, remember, peace be still.
Right. Be still.
And be still. And he's communicating that and asking them to have that. And here they have Thomas, who has no peace. I'm not going to believe until I see.
I'm not going to listen to you.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's the reason why he gets the phrase, doubting Thomas.
Yeah. Poor
just
guy.
Sad.
Yeah,
sad. Which is really sad because,
it is sad.
Because he is the one that's like, he says, okay, if he's there, let's go. Let's run. Let's do it now. He actually has an amazing faith moment, and nobody ever refers to that faith moment. We only refer to his doubting moment.
I know it.
Which,
but he had questions, which I admire about him, you know, because, I don't know, we were in Sunday school the other day, and one of the men asked a question, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I didn't even cross my mind. You know, but made you really think, you know, about the questions.
Right. That's good. So Thomas, in thinking through his things, there are several things that Barclay talks about that we should examine and make sure we know. But it looks like I just looked up. We only have like 45 seconds.
Yes,
we're going to come back and talk on Thomas's next week. And what we need to remember is that this is the commissioning, and he's wanting them to be prepared and thinking through how to proclaim his truth of what he's done. And he's getting Thomas prepared for it, but Thomas isn't there yet. Each of us are going to have our Thomases that we're going to interact with, and this will help us to better understand what we need to do. Thanks for listening. God bless.